All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Can you see it? Did you know this?
Check, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
Moments notice. Adams leaves the
puck. To the line, Hughes, Jones!
Yes, existence. Take you to the sun.
First career NHL goal. Quinn Hughes makes it 1-0.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes, the reporter here. Like, I won't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our heart. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans. Welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, presented by those great, wonderful, amazing, and some other synonyms for that. Amazing folks over at Zephyr Epic. You can use our promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, Hockey Season. I'll get you $5 off your order. The extended series, that's where I got my Jack Rathbone rookie cards. I'm up to 8 Jack Rathbone rookie cards
you're
now.
You're closing the market. Like, you are cornering the market.
On eBay right now, like, I'm picking up, this is probably a tip for people now, I'm going to be bidding against these other people listening to the show, but I'm getting them for like $9 right now.
Wow.
$9 rookie cards for Jack Rathbone. So this is the best investment I've made. This is, Jack Rathbone is one I want to invest in instead of Olia Levy or Nikita Triamkin. I still got all those rookie cards.
I'm just saying, your little investing guru advice shouldn't just be, oh, I don't want to invest in these after you've already invested in them and then they tank.
They were cheap at the time anyways. I was paying under $5 for those rookie cards. Now Jack's a little more, but he's like, you know, $9.
Yeah.
He's got to be worth more by the end of the year, I'm thinking.
I think you're right.
But you know what else, too? Like, man.
Oh, you didn't intro either of us, by the way.
No, it's fine, but we'll get to that in a minute. The Vasilipod Colson rookie cards, oh, they're going to be so nice.
I'm very excited. Okay, so wait for are those going to be... Oh, also DoorDash, combo
DD. I'll get to all that in a minute here.
You're supposed to get to it off the top, but that's fine. Pod Colson, is that going to be the rookie card? Like, him and Cole Caulfield have to be the short printed ones, right?
I'm guessing that Caulfield will be in Series 1 and Pod Colson Series 2, because they won't have a picture yet for Series 1.
Oh.
So Pod Colson will be in Series 2. Pod Colson will be the big one in Series 2, likely. Yeah. Unless there's someone else that makes a jump. Also, delivered by the great people at DoorDash. Use promo code COMBODD for first-time users. They can get 25% off their order and free delivery. Combo DD, DoorDash. DoorDash is the thing, man.
DoorDash is great.
We heard it from Cheech last episode.
Heard it from Cheech.
Five guys on DoorDash for sure. Last thing I got from DoorDash was they have the Summer of Dash Pass.
Whoa,
right
what?
Right now. Because I've had DoorDash Dash Pass for a long time.
Okay.
And they have a deal. It's been like $10 off of, you know, you got to spend $20, you get $10 off your order. And it was a different thing for 7 weeks. And last week was like convenience store. So I just bought Monsters because I was like, you know what?
Oh.
I got exactly like $20.50 worth of Monsters, $10 off of that. Ended up getting like a bunch of Monsters from 7-Eleven for $10, like way cheaper than I would have had to pay even if I went into the store.
Yeah.
So DoorDash helped me out that way as well. Great folks over there. Anyways, my name is Chris Faber. Your name is David Quadrelli. I just bought some new shorts from, I went to the Under Armour, I went to the outlets out there by the airports there. Have you ever been out there? Yep.
I've never been, but yes, I know what you're talking about.
I was pretty mad. I was going to get a pair of shoes.
Okay.
No size 13s or 14s anywhere in any of the stores. There was like one or two pairs of shoes and they didn't even fit. They were still too small.
Hate when that happens.
I know, right? Well, you have pretty big feet for your size.
I do, big feet. Yeah.
What size are your feet?
10.5.
Okay. Well, that's not that big actually. Never mind.
Well, yeah, 10.5. Actually, let me check these.
That's got to be nice for you to look for shoes. I was looking, and normally, like, I remember going to outlets in the States.
These are 11.
11? So, yeah, nice fit there with 11s. Yeah. I remember going to outlets in the States, like Nike factory stores and Nike outlets down on your way down to Seattle there. There's, like, the big outlet mall there. I guess you haven't been before, but we used to go there for, like, school supply shopping.
I've been there.
School clothes shopping. Okay, well, anyways, you'd go to the clearance section, and the clearance section was like all size 13 and 14 shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was awesome. So I was like, oh, this outlet down here by our airport, probably going to be the same thing. The clearance section is just going to be jam-packed full of all these, you know, size 13, size 14, things that are going to fit me. Nothing. I found, like, I went to the clearance wall. There was like two shoes. One was just bright gold Air Force Ones, and like, I can't pull that off. So I wasn't going to wear the Air Force One. And then the other one was just like a pair of white low top Nike shoes. And I was like, I can't buy a white pair of shoes. That's too hard to take care of.
I don't think I could
buy black pairs of shoes.
Yeah, that's fair.
So didn't end up coming out of there with a pair of shoes. Pretty mad about it in the end. I was in a pissed off mood because like I went to this place. I waited in a line just to get into the Nike store.
Wow.
For a good 20 minutes, 25 minutes just to get into the store. Then I get in there. I'm like, oh my goodness, look at all these shoes. It's this huge amount of shoes.
Yeah.
And I was like, right on. This is awesome. I'm going to find my pair of shoes. Nothing. Couldn't find anything. So I had a pretty frustrating day yesterday, but I came out of it with some Under Armour shorts. I got these ones and I got another longer pair. But I think these are your inseams you're talking about, right? These are
stand
pretty
up,
short.
Stand up.
These are the short inseams.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here we go. 5-inch inseam. Attaboy. I've got through you.
There's a lot of thigh showing in these shorts when I pull them up a little bit.
That's how they're supposed to be worn. That's what you're supposed to do when you buy shorts. No one wants to watch you walk around in capris.
I think, well, I don't know if people want to. I think people would rather see my capris than see my thighs.
Above the knee.
Yeah.
Your thighs are
I don't know. Are we even going to address that you're wearing jean shorts right now, Quads?
I am wearing jorts.
Go to Edmonton for one friggin' weekend.
You know what I was thinking? I was thinking of buying a jean jacket and wearing that with, like, you know, those jeans I bought or these.
Yeah.
Jean jacket, like denim on denim.
Yeah, that would have been funny to pick you up from the airport. You came in like a Canadian tuxedo.
Cowboy hat.
Yeah, that would have been good. I also was laughing about this with a girlfriend. I got to tell it on the podcast because you come back and you're like, I went to Alberta, bought some jeans. And I was like, okay, you know, thought maybe you went and like got a pair of Wranglers or, you know, like a pair of Alberta brand jeans. You're like, yeah, I got them at Old Navy. I was thinking, that's not a pair of Alberta jeans. You went to freaking Old Navy at West Edmonton Mall and got Old Navy jeans to tell me that. You're so proud of your jeans when you got off the airport. It was like the first thing you said to me. Like, how you doing, Quads? Oh, good, man. Look, I bought jeans from Old Navy.
Dude, I haven't had a pair of jeans since I was like 17.
Just the jorts?
You got a lot of jorts? I got jorts. Yeah. These look good. These are nice.
Yeah.
These are nice jorts.
You wouldn't catch me in jorts. I'll just say that.
They're nice. But anyway, yeah, I haven't had a pair since I was like 17. And then that one pair I had, I wore them all summer. The summer I worked construction.
Ah, yeah.
And then I like ruined them after that. And then I never bought another pair of jeans. Never like needed them. But now I'm like, you know what? I got longer hair now. Got to go to Abbotsford for training camp. It's time for some jeans.
Some blue jeans. I just thought it was funny because you're like, Alberta jeans. They're literally
from them Alberta jeans. I just said I went to Alberta and bought jeans, which is a statement of fact.
Yes, but also the fact that Old Navy, there's one like 15 minutes from your house in Burnaby there. didn't surprise. Anyways. All right, let's get into it. We have something, you know, there's some things out there to talk about, actually, which is kind of
nice. Yeah, that's right.
There's I think obviously we'll start with the Olympics.
Yeah.
I think that's a good spot to start because I guess you can lead it off. You wrote the article yesterday. The NHL is going to the damn Olympics.
Yeah, finally. The NHL, the NHLPA, and the IIHF have come to an agreement to send the players to the Olympics. First time since 2014. Sixth time in the history of the league that they're going. Everybody's very excited. Like, I think the league made this commitment to the players in the MOU that was released last summer, and they stuck to it. Like, there was a lot of skeptics that were saying like, okay, they said they're going to do this, but they're going to be able to use COVID as an excuse to be like, oh, we lost all this revenue. Like we can't take 2 weeks out of the season. And like, you know, they used that when it was Pyeongchang a few years back. So I looked at it and said like, okay, like this is looking promising because they did promise it to the players. I think there would have been a large uproar if they, you know, gave up on that commitment that they made to the players, but they did get it done. So now everybody's super excited, man. Like the players are ecstatic to go. Like Bo Horvat was talking to Thomas Drance on the Vancast, The Athletic, a few weeks back. And he was saying, he's like, just to be included in this conversation is just such a huge honor. And we'll get to that soon. If Bo Horvat should be on that team, is our poll question. We'll get to that later.
Got a poll question out before the episode.
I got it up early. Good. I got it up very early today. I wanted a big sample size, but regardless, that's what's going on. NHL is going to the Olympics.
What other names from the Canucks that'll be, you know, talked about, not just Canada. Obviously that's probably what we're going to focus on a little bit here. We'll get to Horvat in a minute, but you know, Pettersson's going to be there.
Pettersson's going to be Sweden's first line center.
Yeah, I think Thatcher Demko has a good chance being the starter. You spent enough time with Woodley a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll see. I think you guys cover that one in depth. I think Vasily Podkolzin has an outside chance. It's going to depend on what he does this year.
I didn't even think of
still
him.
Still a very outside chance, yeah. I'd have to say. And then, yeah, I mean, like, I'm trying to think of some other names. Brock Besser will be in
Hughes,
there.
Quinn Hughes, obviously.
Quinn Hughes will be in the mix.
Quinn Hughes is probably going to be like a third pairing D-man on Team USA. USA is deep.
The United States are going to have probably the most Canucks, right? If I assume correctly, you're going to have Brock Besser. You're going to have Quinn Hughes. You're going to have Thatcher Demko.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? JT Miller, maybe?
Yeah, there's no way Team USA doesn't take Miller.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So that's I was four Americans this, there, right?
Yes.
We probably should have written this out first, but we're just kind of spitballing
off here. Off the top. Do you remember Team North America at the World Cup of Hockey? You know who was on that team? JT Miller. If you take that team, he was. He was like one of the oldest players on that team.
23 and under? 22 and under?
I thought it was 24 or 25 maybe. Or something.
Okay.
Whatever it was, that team had like Nate MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, again, JT Miller, all these great players. That Team Canada team is going to be ridiculous. Like, if you're Team Canada, you're Roberto Luongo, who's assistant GM, I think. I don't think he's the actual GM of this team. By the way, Ryan Miller is the Team USA assistant coach. I think he's going to be a goaltending coach. But yeah, listed as an assistant for Team USA, which is cool. Sorry, got off topic there. That Canadian team, it's deep. Like, I think when you write out your lineup, you get to the fourth line, and that's where you start to have some options. And I've basically narrowed it down to you're either taking one of Ryan O'Reilly, Bo Horvat, or Matt Barzal. Like, I think that's what it comes down to. The guys ahead of them are all locks to be in that lineup.
You think Scheifele's in the mix there at all, or no?
I think he is as well. Too. Yeah, and I didn't even think of him.
There's a handful of names, and then like
those are your final four. Like, who gets that spot in your lineup? Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, O'Reilly has to stick out as like your fourth line, kill penalties for you. That's the guy that Horvat's kind of matching up against, I think, out of that group. Because I think looking at a different role that Scheifele's going to play, especially Barzal, he's going to play a very different role. But like, it's going to be between Horvat and O'Reilly for that kind of last spot there for, you know, a defensive minded kind of. you know, can kind of play anywhere type for you as your fourth line center.
I'm just saying, like, on paper, yeah, those guys are all better than Horvat. Like, let's not get it twisted here. On paper, they all are. But I guess it's just because we've watched Bo Horvat so much and just kind of know what makes him tick. But, like, he's the kind of player that, yeah, he'd look okay on paper, but then he'd show up to the Olympics and, like, lead the team in scoring.
A good point for that would be, like, the big stage that Bo Horvat got in the bubble, I think is going to go a long way, actually, too.
If they can convince the Olympic committee to let them play games in Edmonton, like fly from Beijing and go play in Rogers Place, Bo Horvat's gonna light it up. That's his building.
Yeah,
which I saw when I was in Edmonton.
Do you think some of the names that are locks are like I've got a couple names written down here, like Jonathan Huberdeau, is he a lock for sure?
Absolutely.
So he's a lock in there. No doubt. What about Steven Stamkos?
Yes.
So Stamkos is gonna play in a bottom six wing role probably. Yeah.
Think of the names we just listed.
Yeah.
I would say maybe Matt Barzal is the only guy that might pass Stamkos, but I think on sole seniority, you give it Stamkos.
The way that I see like Horvat getting onto this team is all these players, you know, great players, they're going to be halfway through the season. Some of them are going to be injured at that point. That's kind of the way that I see Horvat getting on. Because, yes, you go into this on paper, Horvat's not on the team in my eyes. And, you know, obviously I'd love for him to be there, and that's our poll question, but I'm going to kind of answer no on paper right now. But this is also a guy who's been crazy healthy. You know, Horvat does not get injured. He's going to be, at least when they get around to when the Olympic selection happens, you kind of just know Bo Horvat's going to be healthy. I don't know about all the other players. I don't know if Huberdeau and Point and Stone and Tavares, like if they're all healthy, you know, Scheifele, is he healthy? Is Stamkos healthy? Is Couturier healthy? Like, you know, it's only going to take like two or three of these guys to not be fully good for the Olympics. And I think it's going to be different because obviously the Olympics, everybody wants to compete, you know, everybody wants to go represent Canada at that. So it's going to be guys kind of playing through injury if they have to. And it's not going to be like, oh, if they're a little banged up, they're going to skip the Olympics. That's just not going to happen. So it's going to take like a pretty big injury to keep these guys out of it. But I think that's the way that Horvat gets in, because right now, you know, I hate to say it, but I think he's like their 15th, 16th best forward.
Yeah.
You know, and that's Team Canada, man. Like, honestly, as a center trying to make Team Canada, you have to be not just the best center. Like, you literally have to be like one of the best, you know, top 10 centers in the NHL to make Team Canada, if not like top five to make actual starting roster.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm looking at the results of our poll question. 40% say yes, 51% say no. And then 8% or 9%, whatever it was, I just read it, said, I'm angry.
Yeah. So, I think if he can beat out O'Reilly and there is an injury or two, he's on the roster. But that's going to be the tough part.
Well, okay. Like, I think he likely makes the roster. I don't think he gets into games. Like, unless there's injuries.
You're building a fourth line that can sort of help you on the penalty kill. Yeah. And you have, you know, Tavares, Couturier, Scheifele, Barzal, Stamkos. Like, it's hard to put Horvat above those guys. As much as we love him in Vancouver, as much as we see what he does, you can't put Horvat over those guys.
You can't.
You can make an argument for him to be over O'Reilly. If at the point, like, I think he's the guy that he's going to be competing with. You know, if Horvat has seven more goals than O'Reilly at the Olympic break, probably gets the spot over.
I'm interested to see. Like we both have talked a few times on this show how we both think Horvat's going to take another step offensively. And that's mainly just because he doesn't have to play shutdown minutes anymore. Like, I really think we're going to see Bo Horvat explode offensively. Like, I think he's going to have a huge year. Like, I've kind of pegged him as my guy to, like, really, really turn it on this year. Like, I just think he's going to be spectacular. Like, I think we're going to see levels of Bo Horvat scoring that we just have never seen before.
You know what's interesting about the Horvat line and that shift that they're about to make to being, you know, not the shutdown line anymore? Yeah. The interesting thing is, like, now looking at it, let's say they go with Höglander, right? Let's say Höglander goes there with Garland. I think that's what a lot of people, I think that's the line that most people want to see. Like, most people want to see Höglander there instead of Pearson or Podkolzin. And if they do go with Höglander and Garland there, that line is now all guys that, like, are finishers. Like, think about it. Like, you know, Garland's a finisher. He's a shooter. Horvat, I'd say he's more of a finisher than a passer. And same thing with Höglander. I think Höglander's more of a finisher than a passer as well. But they're all able to make good passes. But you're looking at a line that's full. Like, all three guys can bury the puck.
Yeah.
You know, you look at what you're going to have kind of on that third line with Podkolzin and Dickinson and Pearson is kind of how it's going to look like. You know, there's a finisher sort of there with Pearson, but that Horvat line, all three of those guys, if given a scoring opportunity, more than times than not, are going to put it in the back of the net.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you turn away Matt Barzal, right? Like, when you're looking at the final spot on this roster, right, like, you can't leave Matt Barzal out of that. No.
And I mean, like, who, like, what's your top, like, before we get on for the Olympics, maybe we'll touch on a few other Canucks that we think will be
better. Oh, are you going to ask me about the top line?
Like, what are you doing for your top
Team
line?
Team Chaos? Yeah. Just for bleeps and giggles, yeah. You have to go. At one point, we need to see McDavid, Crosby, MacKinnon on one line. Just throw all three centers out there. The Timmy Hose boys with Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
That is, man, that is every generation. Like, I grew up watching Crosby. Like, Crosby in 2010 when he was Sid the Kid. I was 10 years old when they won that. Like, I just crazy. Turned 10.
Yeah.
No, I was 9. No. Yeah. When were the Winter Olympics? 2010. Yeah, but early? Like, I have an early birthday.
Yeah, it would have been 9, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I was 9. Yeah. I was 9 years old when Sidney Crosby scored that goal.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Because I, like, distinctly remember. Where were you?
17. I was 17.
You're 17? Where were you when...
Same place I watched most of the 2011 playoffs. My friend Chad's... his dad's got a big Canucks man cave. So nice. We did a lot of watching playoffs, watched 2010 Olympics there. They were the cool parents. Let it have a couple beers here and there.
Very cool.
Yeah. It used to be one beer per period. Yeah, it was like, once we got to the third period, his dad already had too many. We would have all the Budweisers we want at that point.
Chad.
Yeah. I don't even think it's like at one point you need to go to it, because I do think that throughout the whole tournament, you have to have McDavid playing with MacKinnon. That line will, no matter who you play with them. I think it might be...
They've got Team USA and Team China in their group.
Oh my goodness, yeah. So that's going to be a tough one against China. I think it's going to be interesting to watch because, like, I think they'll go with a Marchand, Crosby, Bergeron again, because that seems to work, and, like, hell of a two-way line. Yes, I think they'll stick with that. But I wouldn't hate to see, like, maybe Braden Point go up to play with MacKinnon and McDavid.
Wow.
Though I do think Mitch Marner's got a good case as well, but I would like to see Braden Point play on that line.
Yeah. No, I like that. That would be a line. I like that a lot.
That would be just see, like, honestly, it doesn't matter because, like, whoever, you know, if you're playing against McDavid and MacKinnon, that's going to be so fun to watch. And it's the only guy that I think has an argument against McDavid for best player in the league is MacKinnon, just from the way that MacKinnon can physically dominate. But to put them together, the most physically dominant hockey player and the fastest skater in the world, put them together on a line. I mean,
dude,
it's going to be so fun. I'm really happy that the NHL figured this out and can go to the Olympics, because we really missed it last time.
Is Team Canada's third line Steven Stamkos, John Tavares, and Mitch Marner? Because I think it is.
Could be. I mean, I'm trying to think of some of the names here. Like, Huberdeau, Mark Stone.
That's like your fourth line.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no chance Bo Horvat makes this team.
No, I mean, the only way he's making it, I think, is injuries. Like I said, 15th or 16th forward going into it, which is still great. I mean, he's a second line forward for the Canucks. Yeah,
fantastic. You know,
if you're 15, 16 on Canada's roster, that's a good second line player on any other NHL team.
Man, I'm really interested to see Sweden. Like Pedersen's probably going to be that team's first line center. Have, like, Mika Zibanejad with him.
Yeah, I mean, Landeskog probably gets a good opportunity. That would be kind of a fun line to run with. I think it's going to be strange for a guy like Pedersen who, like, because there wasn't an Olympics last year, he would have been, you know, similar age to you watching the 2010 Olympics, 2014 Olympics 4 years later at, you know, 13, 14 years old. I get the, like, maybe I, cause I remember a lot of them when I was younger, it was really, really good hockey. And I hope that they get right back to that, because it's going to be strange that the fact that they've missed Olympics and they weren't able to see what it was like with these players. A lot of these players haven't played in the Olympics before. A lot of them are, you know, 23, 24, 26 year old players that just haven't played in the Olympics before. So I hope that we get just the best on best playing against each other 100% as hard as possible. And I hope that that's just going to be just incredible watching for us. At some point, is it in February? Is that when they shut it down?
Yes. Yeah. It's mid February.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited for it. Anything else you want to do about anyone else? Like, are we missing a name? Like, we got the Americans. I think Pod Colson's got an outside shot, but...
You know who's a lock?
Who's that?
Like, he's a lock. There's no chance he doesn't make the team as the starting netminder. Yaro Halak, Slovakia.
Ah.
He's 100% going to play.
Forgot about that.
There's no chance he doesn't play for Slovakia.
What's another good...
OEL is going to be on Sweden.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. So he's kind of
they got, what did they have? Like Hedman. I can name more than one Swedish defenseman, I swear. OEL's definitely on that team.
Yeah, I think OEL gets a good chance.
Hoglander might have a chance.
Sure. Maybe an outside chance. I mean, he'd be a nice little fourth line grinder for
Connor
them.
Garland he's on USA.
Garland for USA?
Yeah, I think so.
See, the Canucks might have five guys in USA. Wow. I don't think so. I don't think Garland and Miller both make it.
I think Miller makes it for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't
really Besser see. Has to make it for sure, right? Well, Besser's
Besser,
a for sure.
Of course, okay. Yeah.
And Quinn Hughes for sure, we're saying. Demko yes. seems like a for sure.
Yeah. Even Quinn Hughes, if he's like maybe third pairing, like second, right. third pairing. Like US is deep. So is Canada though, man. Like, holy cow. Kyle McCarr is going to be on Canada. He's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. Kyle McCarr will be good.
I'm so excited to watch the Olympics. Like, I can't remember the last time I was this excited to watch like a hockey game.
Yeah.
I'm like Canada, USA, like said, they're in the same group.
If it's going to be them going 100% on each other,
yeah.
it's going to be a hell of a tournament. It's going to be way better than, you know, the World Cup of Hockey or whatever that thing
which was super fun to watch.
I still, like a lot of people rip on that. I still enjoyed that. I really enjoyed the North American Young Stars team and that kind of thing. But I think we'll kind of wrap it up there for the first half of the episode for sure. We dove into a lot of Olympic talk. Always fun to chat about something. Nice to actually have something of relevance to talk about because we are missing that quite a bit. On the other side, we're going to dive into a few news and kind of rumblings going around. Rick Dhaliwal's back on his Twitter machine. He's been bumping it up. So we got a few things to talk about from Ricky there. And aside from that, I don't know. We'll figure it out. Maybe we'll talk more about Quads' jorts in the second half of the episode. So we'll throw in a quick ad break here and we'll see you guys on the other side. All right, folks, that's right. We got a new ad finally here for Parallel 49 Beer. You want to get down to the street kitchen, folks. It's more than just a street kitchen now. Now it is a full-on beer gardens. Absolutely beautiful. You've seen Quads and I tweeting about it. The food's amazing. A ton of beers on tap. Quads as well. You've had not only beers, but what other drinks did you like there?
Had the Muddler's Pink Lemonade. That was very good. You need to go get the food, though. The food at the Parallel 49 Street Kitchen, ridiculous. What did we eat that one day? Poutine? Cheeseburger. Well, I ate it all. Waffle fries. And then we got those Korean barbecue wings.
Yeah, the spicy chicken burger. That's my go-to. But delicious. What you do, a little trick for everyone, you swap out the jalapenos for their pickled cucumbers. Very, very good. Highly recommend that. That's down at 1950 Triumph Street off an East Van. That's Parallel 49 at 1950 Triumph Street. Check them out in East Van and go down and try some beers and be sure to get some food down on that beautiful patio.
The pandemic and a slow economy are making it tough on a lot of people to find steady, good-paying work. But one industry is bucking that trend. Construction companies are hiring and need more workers than ever before. Upload your resume to icba.ca and get noticed. With more than 3,000 employers on our ICBA team, our employment network can connect you to businesses crewing up for the 2021 construction season. Trades jobs that pay well, offer excellent benefits, invest in safety training, and give a firm career foundation. Check out icba.ca/jobs.
Squish Beverage, my new favorite drink of the summer. Absolutely crushable. The right drink to bring down to the beach, the right drink to bring down to the river, camping, whatever you're doing this summer. Squish is the beverage for you. They have original hard seltzers and a bunch of different flavors, but the lemonade ones, those are my favorite, Quads.
Me too. I can drink more than one of those. They're crushable.
Which is good. So when you go down to the beach, you're bringing how many?
More than one.
More than one.
Unlike last time.
Absolutely. This is the hard seltzer for you. This is the hard seltzer for summer. Go out and try Squish. You can find the original flavors of hard seltzer at BC liquor stores. But if you want to do a little bit of digging, that's where you're going to find the lemonades. My favorite. And you can find those at private liquor stores all across British Columbia. And a big thank you to all of our sponsors, of course. Hey, doing a little something special on the Patreon right now.
It's yes.
kind of fun going back. And we listened to the first episode we ever did together. Did a little commentary on it, I guess you would kind of say. Kind of like those DVD things from back in the day where you get the little extras on the DVD and you could go and listen to the producer thing. Yeah, a lot of fun, but we also completely forgot that there was like a major mess up in the recording.
That I didn't even know about that.
That was hilarious.
That was my first time hearing it. I didn't know that
we're listening to it, and then it's like an awkward intro back in where we're just like, "Hey, do you want me to go? Do you want to bring it back? Do you want to bring it back?"
I'm like, you go."
And that's somehow in the actual episode podcast.
Yeah,
that one shocked us a little bit, but it's been fun. We got two parts of it up right now, and then the third part's going to be diving into Riding the Bus with Corey Hergott. I'm curious to see how our interviewing kind of was back then.
Yeah.
Because right now we've just seen us asking questions. And I want to see how much you act like you know about the AHL. Because that's been a funny part about it.
Yeah,
so
that
far.
Was so funny. I was like, yeah. Of course I watched Vincent Arsenault.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Me and Vinny? Come on.
We'll have to see how you do with that. So doing a decent amount, nice little info drop from Rick Dhaliwal on Friday morning. That really helped the show because we'll just kind of dive into the three tweets that he brought up and then, you know, get into a little prospect support and kind of close this thing out. I know you want to talk about Koskenvo.
Oh, yeah.
First tweet from Rick. It took over 3 months, but Vasily Podkolzin finally got all of his paperwork and vaccinations done. He'll be on his way to Vancouver in a couple of days. So getting here, I guess, early next week, kind of by the timeline that Ricky tweeted out there. Exciting to get Podkolzin in Vancouver, get him to start to see what the city's like. I'm, you know, hoping he can make a good adjustment and just kind of blend right into this team, get ready for training camp because 3 weeks away from today as we're recording this, we'll be at training camp, man. I'm excited for that. And I think this is about time for the Canucks to start getting their captain's practices going. Horvat will probably be arriving here pretty soon. I'm sure all the players are kind of getting here next week. I feel like any time, you know, after next week would be a little bit late. So it's good to hear that Podkolzin got everything all figured out there.
Yes. There's one other piece of news. Did you hear about the NHL's new protocols, COVID protocols?
Yes. You want to dive into that? Let's get the Rick tweets out of the way first.
You go ahead with the Rick tweets. Okay. I'm going to pull
We'll get that after a little bit here. So after that, Danila Klimovich's agent, Dan Milstein, confirms that he will be arriving in Vancouver next week as well. Where he plays the season will be decided after training camp. Like we've kind of talked about quite a bit on the show, as much as we would like to see AHL, and I think as much as I kind of mentioned about the KHL being a spot that I would like to see him play, with so many struggles going on in Belarus, and that's where the KHL team that has his rights are. But I guess the Canucks could loan him to somewhere else, but that might be, that's kind of a thing that probably would have had to been set up by now because the KHL's already started their season. But it looks like the Q. It looks like he's, you know, Klimovich is going to end up going to the QMJHL. But a big thing for us, and I think this is going to be something that I'm really excited to see, Quads, and I think you will be as well, but to see how he just matches up against NHL players like right now is going to be really interesting.
It will be, and it'll be something we watch at training camp. Like at training camp, there's always, you know, when you're there, and fans I think are going to be allowed to be there. I think double vaccinated fans are going to be allowed in the building. So that'll be cool. See some people maybe from our perch in the media box or wherever they station us.
Well, you know me, I'm a man of the people. I'll be out talking to people.
I'll be taking secret exits.
You will be,
I'll be like hiding behind the players, making sure I get away from
exactly.
everybody.
You'll be like the Michael Jackson with that jacket over your head running around everywhere.
Nobody cares about me.
I'll be holding a baby over the media.
Oh my gosh.
Where do you get that baby? All right. Well, anyways, I'll be talking to people.
I'll come out. I'll say hi to some people, too.
Yeah, we'll see.
Say hi to some people, too.
All right. Well, final thing from Ricky before you can get into that, and we'll dive into that a little bit here. For those asking, this is another tweet from Rick Dhaliwal. Last one we're going to get into. Ricky just killing it. Comes out of the break, texts his agents, gets it done on a Friday. For those asking, expecting after Labor Day weekend, talks on Pedersen and Hughes to increase between CAA and the Canucks. I sure damn hope so, because listen, we talked about it a long time. We haven't spent a lot of time talking about the contracts because what's the point, right? Like, what's the point of us talking about it? But now we're at the point where next week is like the latest for me. You know, like I said, you want to get this done a couple weeks before camp. You don't want any questions about your two franchise players going into training camp. Especially this year, after what they did last year. It's something you've mentioned quite a bit on the show about, you know, after what they had to go through last year with a strange preseason, a strange bubble training camp. These guys want to get into camp, get some sort of regularity about getting preseason games in, getting a training camp in, getting with your teammates so you can start the season on the right foot. If there's any sort of contract discussions going into training camp still, that's not a good look for these two players who don't want this at all.
No. I don't think anybody in these negotiations wants this to go on into training camp. And I think we're going to see something similar to what we saw in the Brock Besser deal. Like, do you remember? We were told that there was a very fiery phone call with Jim Benning and Ben Hankinson, Besser's agent. There were a lot of F-bombs thrown back and forth, apparently, and they finally got it done. So maybe that's what has to happen. Like, maybe it needs to get to a point where, okay, we just missed the first day of training camp. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants this to drag on further. Just get it done.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to see Besser at that training camp because I was only there for day one and two, I think.
I don't think he signed on day two. Yeah.
He might have played on day three or something. So, yeah, that was Corey Hurgot took over for me for the second 2 days of camp. So, yeah, I mean,
this will be a fun training camp, man. We're gonna both be there. Abby, oh, I'm excited. A
lot of shows coming up.
Check out the Arby's.
Absolutely. The Arby's, man. Yeah, we might have to do an episode from the Arby's parking lot if we can. We'll figure that out.
Really?
Yeah.
That's something we're going to do.
Arby's Wi-Fi. Yeah, for sure. We'll just get everything set up. We'll figure it
out. Live from Arby's. You hear us getting kicked out during the episode.
We'll see what happens. Anyways, to get to training camp there with these guys, get them in there, get these contracts done. Like, I think the problem is just like, which one's going to go long? Because if they were both going to be short, if they were both going to be bridge deals, you could get that deal done tomorrow. I think that what the problem is can you go long on one of them and which one makes the most sense? But does the agent want to do that? Does the agent like the power of having both of them be RFAs at the same time and then both have their next contracts expire at the same time? Because that's something that an agent probably gets some power over the team with if you have to sign both of your guys at the exact same time. And this is a smart agent running them from CAA. That's the best, you know, the best agents group that you can have is CAA. And that's who's representing both these guys. And I think that they know that, you know, they have the Canucks over the barrel. If you have them having to renew at the same time, having to re-up at the same time, they're in big time control if they do that again. And that's why I think that the Canucks might want to get one guy done long term, whether it be Quinn Hughes or Elias Pettersson. I think it'll lean towards Quinn Hughes, but the agents are smart and they're going to try and get the most money for their guys. And I think the way for them to get the most money for their guys is to, you know, sign matching deals, matching 3-year deals, matching 4-year extensions, whatever it is. I guess it would be 3 is what they would have to go with for because of Pettersson wise for UFA. So, you know, 3-year bridge deals is probably what the agents are looking for. I bet the Canucks might want to stretch one of the two.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's going to be one of them. And I was asked about this a lot when I was in Edmonton. All the Oilers Nation guys asking me which one's going to get signed long term. I don't know. Like, I have no clue. We have not been told anything. It's very hard to tell which one's going to be signed long term. If I had to go out on a limb, and that's all this is a limb, is Quinn Hughes. Like, I think it's going to be Quinn Hughes that's signed long term. But
yeah,
would I be surprised if it was Elias Pettersson instead? Not at all.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the NHL news.
Yeah. So here's what I got. This is from The Athletic. Michael Russo wrote an article about this. 27 pages of COVID-19 protocols for the 2021-2022 season obtained by The Athletic. So this isn't public information yet.
Say, it's page been, one. Starts go
page one. Months. I'm going to read it. Hello, everyone. My name is Gary Bettman. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so here's basically the gist of it. I'll make this as quick as I can, as crystal clear as I can.
Well, you've got a lot of practice of Googling on air, so this is kind of the moment that we've been waiting for, is you reading an article on air.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm not going to read the article. I'm just going to go through the bullet points. I've kind of memorized most of it.
Okay.
I've looked through it a few times. All right. But basically,
photographic memory of yours.
Yes, which came in handy when I was in Edmonton. But anyways, the gist of it is players who are vaccinated are going to have a lot more privileges than unvaccinated players. The main one: if a vaccinated player catches COVID and tests positive, he will still be paid and it will be treated as a hockey-related injury. Very similar to what it was this past season. Like, he'll be away from the club. You know, it's an injury. Like, he'll be paid. Everything's going to be fine. Unvaccinated player gets COVID. He doesn't get paid while he's away. And any unvaccinated player who can't go with the team because of local restrictions in like a certain place, they will not be, the team can suspend them without pay. So that's like the main big thing in these new protocols. And you're looking for an example of something like that. You look at Vancouver, you know, everybody that goes into Rogers Arena has to be double vaccinated. Does that go toward the players too? Like, that's not entirely clear yet. I don't think it will. I don't think that'll be the case. But if there, you know, who knows? Maybe if there's, you know, down the line, there's some place that's like, no, you actually can't go in here. Like, it's a provincial requirement that you're double vaccinated before you go in here, right, or whatever. No,
I
mean,
and that's something that I found, you know, when we heard Horvat with Drancer a couple weeks ago, Horvat was saying, like, you know, not everyone's vaccinated on the Canucks. You know, some players are not wanting to get the vaccination. And
did he say that?
Well, Horvat even said that's their personal choice if they don't want to get vaccinated.
Well, I don't think he said some players on the Canucks aren't vaccinated.
Well, I think he said they're talking their way through it.
No, I think he said some guys don't want to get vaccinated. I don't think he meant on the Canucks.
Okay. Well, I guess because he's a player rep, so I might be a little wrong with the information.
I would be surprised if there was a player on the Canucks who didn't get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not even trying to be like, you know, like, I'm not even saying like, oh, they can't choose. Like, I'm saying, like, I think every player on that team is just exhausted from all the COVID precautions and all the protocols that they had to take last year. Like, think of a guy like JT Miller comes to camp, has to quarantine for 2 weeks because he came from out of the country, goes to camp, gets ready for the season, then has to quarantine again, then has to play again, and then they have their shutdown in the middle of the season. You think JT Miller's not going to get vaccinated so he can avoid all that again?
Yeah, I'm going to guess he gets vaccinated.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that.
I could have... Maybe I was... But we could be wrong. To that with Horvat. We're not, there.
Well, yeah, Horvat did definitely...
Because I know he's a player rep, so I think he was maybe he was talking more about, you know, just the NHL.
And wasn't he just hanging out with, like... I can't remember. He was hanging out with someone in Ontario. I can't remember which player it was, but I was like, oh, I bet that guy's not vaccinated. we'll kind of move away from that conversation. But basically, the basic gist of these protocols is that players who are unvaccinated don't have as many, don't have as much leeway as players who are vaccinated. So unvaccinated players won't be paid for each day they cannot perform their duties. That includes if the player contracts the virus, is determined to be a high risk close contact of a COVID-19 positive work related contact, or if that player is unable to fly into Canada or other local and state jurisdictions because he's unvaccinated. Going to be very interesting.
Some other things that I remember from reading that yesterday was that lot of like restrictions for going out to eat, going out to even pick up your food. The only way they're able to get food is like delivered to their hotel room door or a curbside pickup.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to go into any restaurants. So it's making your life very tough to be an NHL player on the road, at home, everything, if you're not going to be vaccinated.
Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner of the NHL, estimated in an email to The Athletic that that the number is now close to 95% for players who are fully vaccinated. So
good.
And just so we're clear, these rules don't apply to players who can't get the vaccine for medical reasons or religious reasons. So again, close to 95%. Like I said, like, you know, I'm not... Like, I know someone's going to have a problem with this, but I just think all the players are just so done with everything that they're just like, I'll roll up my sleeve. Like, just give me this thing so I can just get back to my normal life.
Yeah.
I think.
As normal as possible. Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's good to maybe, you know, hopefully this support from the NHL kind of helps other people as well to kind of get behind this and we can move on, you know, continue to get vaccine numbers up, and move on from this crazy pandemic. Some of the stuff we're seeing lately is just driving me insane.
Do you want to talk about that? You were pretty fired up on Twitter about it. We're only at 40-minute mark. You can go on a bit of a rant if you want.
Okay, I just... From what I read, you know, and just seeing... Like, I saw videos of these protests, and these protests outside of a hospital. And listen, I'm fine with people protesting something that they don't agree with. It's, you know, it's great that people have that right, but... They should not have the right to do that outside of a hospital, outside of the spot where, you know, elderly people are trying to get to the hospital. People who need surgeries are trying to get to the hospital. These nurses and doctors and support staff at hospitals who have, you know, been going through hell and back, man, like going through absolute hell and back. I mean, you know, my girlfriend's a nurse, right? Like, she goes through this. She talks to a lot of people that are nurses. She know everyone that she went to school with for nursing school. They still talk about this. And like, you know, like, she spent the whole day like crying, watching what these people are doing, like, oh, like in tears, seeing that people are outside protesting outside of a hospital. It's the stupidest thing that I've seen throughout the pandemic, is that we know what all these people in the hospitals have been going through. Floors are, you know, taken up like crazy. You know, even where she works, like a whole floor has been taken over by COVID. And it's just so ridiculous that they had to deal with this on the side of it. And then the part that really set me off was just reading it, and I'm sorry, I believe it was from the health officer of Vancouver Island or something like that. I'm not exactly sure of her title, but to hear that, like, even one nurse was, like, assaulted. One nurse was physically assaulted. She said at least one nurse was physically assaulted. After, like, do people not, like, nurses, their shifts are 12-hour shifts. They work four on, four off. 12-hour shifts. If you so much as lay a finger on one of these people after they just finished their 12-hour shift of going through hell and back, trying to help other people and bring other people to better health, like, you don't have... These are just the most idiotic people. If they were to even lay a finger, say a word to these people, they just finished a 12-hour shift, and you're standing outside of this protest, ripping darts and just sitting there waiting for these people without your mask because you want to tell them your piece of your mind. They just finished a freaking 12-hour shift, man. Like, they just finished a 12-hour shift going through hell. Not only had one 12-hour shift, but going through a pandemic for the last 18 months. The crap that they're dealing with is unimaginable for a lot of people, and absolutely unimaginable for these idiots that are outside of the hospital protesting. So it set me off, man. I had to go for a walk, and like, I don't even like going for walks, but like, I had to go for a walk the other day just because it was just so frustrating to not, like, it wasn't even about the videos of like what I saw or whatever I saw on social media. It wasn't even about that. It was just about the idea of it. Like, the idea of people think that it was smart to go outside of hospitals and protest. Do it somewhere else. If you have a problem with the government, go do it outside a government building or something. But to see like that an ambulance was struggling to get into the hospital, to see that people were worried like walking up for their surgeries, and you know, to even leave the hospital, whether it was workers or people or, you know, patients that were dealing with a sickness, it's one of the stupidest things I've seen throughout this pandemic. And I just think that everyone that was involved with that are just some of the most dumb people I've ever seen. To do that outside a hospital is just ridiculous. I don't really, like, you know, I'm not a health official. I'm just a dumb guy who likes sports and likes to talk about sports. I don't know the best way to put this, but just from seeing what we saw that day, I thought it was the dumbest thing I've seen throughout this pandemic.
Yeah, fair enough. I have more stuff on the protocols here. Unvaccinated players are required to wear face coverings at all times when with the team or in team spaces other than exercising or playing. Unvaccinated players are required to remain more than 6 feet from both unvaccinated and fully vaccinated individuals, including all of the meeting rooms, locker rooms, stalls, when dining, all that sort of stuff. Unvaccinated players are actually not permitted to share small enclosed spaces such as carpooling, taxis, or ride shares with either fully vaccinated or other unvaccinated players. Unvaccinated players should avoid eating and drinking at the same time as others in the same row on flights. And you have to be, you can't go into bars or restaurants. They are not permitted to go into bars and restaurants. So
they can't even go pick up.
They can't do that here anyway. Yeah. Like if they weren't vaccinated when they come. But yeah. Yep. It's gonna be
all right.
Gonna be interesting. 95%. That's actually like way higher than I would have thought.
I actually thought, yeah, I was kind of surprised when you just said that 10 minutes ago. That's the first time I've heard that. So to hear that they were over 95%, that's good. I think that's good news.
Close to 95, but yes.
Sure. Still. Close to 95 is still very good news. That's, you know, one or two players on teams that are not in, or one player pretty much on every team not into it yet. I mean, you know, we'll see how it works then. And maybe players are even still waiting. Maybe a lot of players are overseas and didn't know that, you know, this was kind of happening. Maybe they're at the point of getting their final, you know, fully vaccinated cells. You know, Podcole's a good example from what we saw. We just heard that, you know, he got everything figured out with him being able to come to Canada, his vaccinations, everything all figured out. Maybe that was something that just wasn't really known or wasn't really kind of sped up because it took the 6 to 8 weeks between your shots or whatever. So, yeah, good. Good to hear. I like to hear that 95% number, man.
Two final things. Media is back in locker rooms. We're excited for that. We're excited to move on from Zoom.
I still don't. I don't know if that's going to happen, man. I understand that's in there, but I'm struggling to think that the Vancouver Canucks we're going to show up there at training camp and be like, hey, head in there, go for it.
Well, we have to wear masks, right?
Right.
The players aren't wearing masks, but we are.
It still seems like a very, like, I know that, you know, I would think that would kind of be like one of the slower restarts in. I think I told you this quite a bit when we've talked about this off air, but like, I thought maybe they'll have a podium and we're all kind of set up out in the room like that way. But throw them right into the locker room, the sweaty.
Maybe we'll have a podium. I would like to not be in a scrum.
I don't want to be in the, like, the scrum's kind of a spot where I don't.
The scrum freaks me out before COVID because I was already a germaphobe before all this. I don't want to get sick.
Yeah.
And not even with COVID.
That's the thing that freaks me out. I was like, when, you know, the only scrums I've been in were, you know, ones at WHL games for the Giants, which were pretty easy. It was only about four of us. But the one in Victoria at training camp, we're talking 20 guys. We're talking five cameras. We're talking microphones on top of people all jammed into one player. I don't see that happening from day one. It just seems like that's a little bit of a rush thing to happen. And don't get me wrong, I want all the access possible, and I think that'd be great. Maybe if you're able to, you know, go get a guy in the locker room and one-on-one, maybe that's okay. But to me, like, thinking the way that they've done it in the past, go right into that seems like a little rushed.
Yeah. The final thing is the opt-out. A player who is unvaccinated or fully vaccinated who can establish an immediate family member, such as a spouse, partner, or child, with whom he shares a household, is at substantially heightened risk of severe illness by contracting COVID-19, is entitled to opt out by notifying the club of his intention to do so by no later than October 1st. I don't anticipate that'll be anything with the Canucks. I don't think that'll be something that comes into play. No.
Probably not a lot. Maybe one or two players around the league might, you know, for safety reasons of their family or
Exactly. themselves. And if a player opts out, not eligible to play any professional hockey or participate in the Olympics.
Yeah. Or, yeah, no other league or anything like that. Okay, well, I don't know if we have much more to wrap up. Prospects report, don't really have a ton.
Aku, my boy.
Yeah, let's hear your Aku update. I know
JD
you're
was
getting...
super excited to text me about this, but kicked off his 2021-22 U20 SM Sarga season, allowing 5 goals on 23 shots in a 10-5 win. So he got the W. Jeez. That's all that matters. That's what I say. A win is a win, man. A win is a win. Got the W. That's what the goalie's job is. He got his guy. He did his job.
He didn't let in 10 goals.
Nope, exactly. He was better than the other guy. All right. And it was funny. I'm not even trying to, you know, it sounds like I'm like, you know, really trying to defend this. But I was talking to Mikey DiPietro a few weeks back. And he was saying, like, you know, I don't really look at numbers because my job is to win the game. So as long as I let in less goals than the guy at the other end of the ice, I've done my job. Well, so Aku like Koskinvo did his job.
It's like a pitcher when you're up 10-0 and you just throw fastballs down the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, one home run doesn't hurt you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but at the same time, goalies, you know, they're still trying to do the exact same thing, whether if it's 4-0 or 4-1 or 4-3. I mean, it's, you know, they're still trying to keep the puck out of their net. So a little different than the pitcher thing I brought up there, but people get the point in the end.
Yeah, we get.
I don't have much of a prospects update. You know, didn't really get, who did I watch the other day? I tried to watch some of the Finnish guys. One of the streams wasn't available. The other one got canceled. Utinen and Jaschik's game, they got canceled because of COVID, I think 2 days in a row. So no games for them, but Forsell wasn't in the SHL lineup. Gabrielsson playing third pairing now in Allsvenskan. They're going to get going very soon with their actual season, so that'll be good. And I think Hugo is going to be the one big one to follow until we get Klimovic in the queue, and man, as soon as Klimovic gets in the queue, those GIFs are going to be flying out of the Twitter account that day. And it's going to be beautiful because the games are going to be at like 4 o'clock. Like, I don't have to wake up early. It's like 4 in the actual afternoon. So I'm excited for that. No early mornings for Klimovic. But he is going to be an absolute GIF monster. A GIF horse, I was saying. You don't stare a GIF horse in the mouth. But I'll be watching a lot of Klimovic once he gets there. So just excited, man. A couple weeks away. I'm expecting some contract news late next week. I'm just going to put it out there right now. I think when we were recording next Friday on this show, I think we're going to have one of, if not both, of Pettersson and Hughes contracts talk. But I think they're done by the end of next week.
Okay. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Heard it here first. We'll wrap it up there. I think anything else you wanted to bring up here, Quads? Never do. I don't know why I ask anyways. Yep. No point of even asking you. So for my co-host, David Quadrelli, my name is Chris Fabier. You know what I was just about to say? I absolutely nailed the outro on this one because I screwed it up so bad last week. And then I say my own name wrong. God damn.
Oh my gosh.
For my co-host, David Quadrelli, my name is Chris Fabier. And thank you so much for tuning into another episode of the Canucks Conversation. Boom, nailed it. Damn it.
You did not nail that.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.